welcome to this week's episode of Our Bodies and Our Stories. To switch gears from our previous discussions about having safe sex, this week we're going to be talking about reproductive justice, also known as RJ, activism that happens on college campuses. So we're going to be talking about college students that work to enable and facilitate these discussions about safe sex and bodily autonomy. And today we have a guest star, Izzy Lian. So Izzy, do you want to go ahead and introduce yourself?
Hey everyone, so happy to be here and thank you so much, Divya and Maya, for inviting me today. My name is Izzy Lian. I use she, her pronouns. I'm Chinese Malaysian and I'm currently a senior at Tulane studying neuroscience with a minor in management. I'll be graduating this spring, returning to my hometown in Portland, Oregon, and applying to medical school from there, hoping to spend my gap year in a hospital, but also really taking much more time to myself to hop back into photography and start baking. But as of now, I'm a data specialist intern at Planned Parenthood Gulf Coast, which has definitely been one of the most formative experiences I've had in college.
We're so excited to have Izzy here with us to talk about her experiences with RJ work in college. So RJ activism by young people is super important because, as we've talked about, our generation can and should work to decrease the stigmas about sex and the lack of access to resources that we experienced growing up. Yeah, and we really hope that this podcast gives you the resources and advice that you need to start doing that work if that's something you're interested in. So coming into college, I didn't really have like a podcast like this or any resources to learn about RJ, and I wasn't even really like aware that I would be potentially interested in doing work like this. So kind of like Maya and I have talked about in previous episodes, I grew up in a household where we weren't supposed to really talk about sex, and every conversation that we had about sex was super awkward. Coming into college, I became definitely more and more interested in working with communities that have been marginalized, and my sophomore year, I took a women's reproductive and obstetric health class, and this kind of helped me to realize that I wanted to become an OBGYN who works to destigmatize sex and advocate for femme-identifying patients.
Yeah, so I also did not have much exposure to RJ work growing up. I'm from Salt Lake City, Utah. So sex ed was essentially our health teacher saying that sex was bad and that abstinence is the only option. In fact, growing up, all norms surrounding healthy and normal relationships were a bit skewed due to the religious norms in the state. But my mom was extremely progressive and supportive when it came to talking about sex, but she was only that supportive after I had done it for the first time, interestingly. But even then, being able to talk to her about it was really formative for me. It made me realize that it's okay to have sex and to want to have sex. So when I got to college, I knew that I wanted to get more comfortable talking about sex and reproduction, as well as teach other people to do the same because the impact my mom had on me. So I actually took a class called The Sociology of Reproduction, which taught me about reproductive justice and how the issues I was passionate about were far more complex than I had originally thought.
Yeah, I definitely resonate a lot with what both Divya and Maya have said. I didn't have much exposure, if at all, to RJ before coming to college. The most I really knew was the intense battle over abortion rights and Planned Parenthood as the organization at the forefront of that very important fight. My parents never truly gave me the talk. Rather, what happened was more of a quick exchange of expectations. At that point in time, I didn't have much of a say in my reproductive health. But even more so, I didn't realize that I should have had a say. That's why I find it so important to destigmatize these types of conversations and be more honest with each other. Most children find it uncomfortable to talk with their parents about sex, let alone other members of their community. And a lot of factors, where you grew up, what type of school you went to, and more likely affected whether sexual health was a part of your education as well. I hope that in the future, discussion about reproduction is no longer considered taboo, but instead embraced as a necessary step towards better health and effective communication within families.
Yeah, so now that we kind of discussed like our personal reasons for getting involved in RJ work, let's talk about why we, as AAPI youth, should consider doing RJ work in general.
If you've listened to our previous episodes, you may remember us talking about the stigma surrounding sex in the AAPI community, and how that increases rates of sexual violence and unplanned pregnancies. It also can create discomfort surrounding body image and sex in general.
Please ignore the birds. We are recording at my house today.
Finally, our first episode in person with masks on, of course.
Right, so participating in dismantling that stigma, that's reproductive justice work. It's important for us to work together as a community to dismantle these stigmas
and improve all kinds of social and health outcomes.
Reproductive justice doesn't stop at comprehensive sex education. It also includes policies surrounding bodily health and autonomy that may disproportionately impact our communities. So if you decide to pursue reproductive justice work, which you should, you can work to advocate for our community by supporting certain laws and policies and working against other laws and policies that you may not support.
Yeah, and this is like a super brief explanation. There are so many other reasons that participating in RJ work with the AAPI community in mind is so incredibly important.
So we really need to work together as AAPI youth to advocate for our community's bodily autonomy and dismantle these extremely harmful stigmas.
So that all sounds great, but then once you realize that you're actually interested in doing RJ work, what do you do? How do you get involved in it?
You can definitely start by looking into programs at your college. I don't think it's super common at colleges, but Vivia, Izzy, and I were lucky enough to get involved in a program specifically for Tulane students interested in RJ work. So this program basically connects students who apply to different nonprofit RJ organizations. And it also connects some students to RJ research opportunities. So the first organization I got involved with through the program was Vela. So far, it has provided me with a platform to create some of my own projects and work with other interns, shout out to Vivia, on some of their projects. The mentorship here has been extremely useful in showing me how nonprofits work and how I can help spearhead projects in a field that I am passionate about. So because Vela is an org dedicated towards the AAPI community, it has also introduced me to people with similar cultural backgrounds, and I've also been able to draw some interesting connections between being Asian American and dealing with RJ issues within my own culture.
Yeah, so I actually first got involved doing some sociology research on people's ability to breastfeed at their workplace. And this was a really cool first experience for me because my supervisor, who's also technically known as your primary investigator in research, she taught me so much about feminist research and RJ work. And she was a really great mentor who really helped guide me into the RJ world. I also like really appreciated her self-awareness because she never tried to project her experiences on me and was always super quick to acknowledge that she's a white woman and I'm a woman of color and that may affect our work differently. And because we were doing interviews with primarily people of color, I think it's really important to have that awareness. And that's also like a really great thing to look for in a mentor when you're considering and looking into RJ programs. You really want someone who will push you to be your best while simultaneously being aware of these layers of oppression and how that affects your role in the work.
Honestly, this reproductive rights and health internship at Tulane played such a big role in shaping my interest in RJ. I joined without too much knowledge of the RJ landscape, but I really wanted to help out in any way possible. It helps to have an internship direct to my goals, and if your university has a program like this, definitely go for it. But you don't necessarily have to be part of a group to make a difference. In fact, I think much of this work really starts with the relationships you have and what you share with your community now. Staying updated on RJ news and following informational accounts on social media can be just as interactive once you start sharing what you've learned with your friends, peers, and family. Rewire News Group is a really great site to stay informed and inspired. Some of my favorite social media accounts include Black Feminist Rants, Asians for Mental Health, The Jai Mama, and Asians for Black Births.
So while we were all privileged enough to have this program that connected us at our college, this isn't the case at many colleges. If your college doesn't have a program like this, you can also look into different nonprofit organizations in your area. Some examples of national nonprofit organizations that do RJ work include Planned Parenthood, Sister Song, the American Civil Liberties Union, Surge Reproductive Justice, and there are so many more.
I do want to note that when applying for these internship positions at RJ organizations, it's important to remember that a lot of RJ organizations are very intentional about the organizing spaces they create, as they should be. For example, Sister Song was created by and for Black people. Black people have suffered immensely in the United States, and it's important for them to have a safe organizing space. Sometimes that means that you may not get the internship, but like I said, in these moments, we should check our privilege and reflect on how we have benefited from the oppression of Black people, as well as Black leaders' fight for justice. Our liberation is tied together. While we should respect and support all our RJ org friends, it's important to remember that this intentionality of creating safe spaces is not about you. Rather, it aims to acknowledge and uplift the voices that are affected by the work that the RJ org actually does.
Right. Because this is a movement that uses an intersectional lens for all aspects of its work, it's important to remember that race, gender, sexual orientation, and privilege will play a super large role in the services provided and research being done. Just know where you land on the spectrum.
For any of y'all who might be listening from Tulane, applications from the program that Maya, Divya, and I are in is open until March 28th. So just search Reproductive Rights and Health Tulane in Google, and it should be the first link.
Yeah, and if you don't have a program like this, sometimes it can also be good to ask certain professors if they know of any opportunities. For example, sometimes public health and sociology professors will have connections with nonprofit organizations that do work in their field.
Yeah, and something else you can look into also is on-campus organizations. For example, Divya and I are both volunteers in an organization at Tulane called the Sexual Aggression Peer Hotline and Education, otherwise known as SAFE, that runs a peer sexual violence response hotline. So this hotline is by and for Tulane students. Some other campuses also have resources like this, and it's definitely something you can look into. The information can usually be found on your college's student org website or campus health information. Just dig around on the internet.
Yeah, and Maya also does really cool work with this organization on campus that delivers emergency contraception.
Yeah, the club is called Big Easy EC, and we deliver free emergency contraception and pregnancy tests 24/7. So we kind of created this club to increase access and maintain confidentiality when it comes to contraception and pregnancy tests, because it's really hard sometimes when you're on campus or if you're in a new city to deal with thinking you might be pregnant while trying to find resources that can help. So thus far, the work has been extremely, extremely rewarding.
Yeah, so we kind of hope that this conversation has given you an overview of getting involved in RJ work at your college. So now we're actually going to transition into an interview with Izzy here to learn more about her specific experiences doing RJ work as an AAPI college student.
Yeah, so do you feel like your AAPI identity impacted or maybe influenced your decision to become involved in reproductive justice activism?
Yeah, I totally think it did, like, shape my decision to become involved. There's kind of this concept of stereotype threat where minority groups sometimes feel like they need to conform to, like, stereotypes that are said about their community. Mm-hmm. And for me, I grew up, like, a pretty timid person, like I kept to myself, and I kind of internalized this idea that I shouldn't be taking up too much space. Right. And like as I grew up, I began to realize, I was like, why am I doing this? Like, no, I should be like taking a stand, like having a voice. And that kind of just spurred my like interest in activism in general. And so I guess like in terms of like reproductive justice specifically, like I mentioned this before, but my experience with my family and also just visiting my family back in China, Malaysia, it was really interesting to see like how my conversations with them about like reproductive health were shaped in kind of this way of like family, like raising kids, raising kids, and like dating and stuff, like how that was kind of like expected, but yet we never really had any conversations about like what it really meant to be in those relationships. And so a lot of my like reason for coming into this field was like my lack of knowledge and like unlearning like what I previously considered to be truths for me.
That's really interesting. Yeah, the concept of not taking up space for sure.
Yeah, and I definitely think like the unlearning truths is really interesting because we talk a lot about like stigma and kind of how we were all raised in sex negative environments. So I think that's really applicable to a lot of people who do AAPI RJ work. So what obstacles, if any, did you face while trying to get involved in RJ work?
Yeah, I think for me, like, and I guess this also applies to like many other things too, but like I usually face like internal obstacles. Like I have a lot of self-doubt about whether I know enough or whether I have like the right thing to say, I guess. And basically like that has kind of materialized into like my struggle of like, how should I be using my platform in the most effective way? Do I even have a platform, you know?
So true.
And like, but I think it all comes back to like me starting to become proud in, like, myself and, like, what I can do and, like, having a lot of faith in that. And so I think that, honestly, being a part of RJ Work, I didn't have much of that. And, like, now that I have been a part of it, it's, like, really helped me grow a lot. And I find that I learn the most from others and, like, their experiences, what they tell me and stuff, and that's really inspiring for me. And so that's just another thing that I find really important is, like, how warm and welcoming this space is for newcomers who want to get involved in RJ Work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely think there's, like, there should be space to, like, make mistakes and learn, and that's something that I think, like, I didn't really understand coming into the work. Like, when you trip up, someone will correct you, and that's what should happen, and it's okay if that happens, and that's how we learn and grow.
Right, and the concept of knowing enough, too. Like, there is always going to be more information out there, but you can also be confident in the knowledge that you have as well. So next question. What has your experience been like actually working with Planned Parenthood? And what are some of the highs and lows that you've experienced?
Yeah, so like I mentioned earlier, before I knew about RJ, Planned Parenthood was really like the only organization I knew at the forefront of reproductive rights and the reproductive rights movement that I wanted to learn more about. I guess I really only knew about abortion access and how that was a big issue. And I think after being a part of this work, it's definitely not just abortion access that is an issue. And like, that's not the only part of reproductive justice that we should be talking about. And I think it's really important that we should start expanding that conversation. And that, I guess, that definitely goes into like destigmatizing these conversations in our day-to-day life. In terms of like what I've actually done with Planned Parenthood, I've been doing a lot of legislative work and sexual health data statistics, like looking at all the parishes in Louisiana and the relative like rates, I guess, of STIs, teen pregnancies, people of color, women, their like median household income, things like that. And in terms of like legislative work, I've been looking at bills that are related to Planned Parenthood's mission of reproductive rights. And from those bills, I look at what the representatives and senators have been voting on, whether they're voting like in favor for or against like specific bills that go towards or against Planned Parenthood's mission. And just using that as like data to kind of hold these representatives and senators accountable for what they're doing and whether they're representing their parishes well. But yeah, and so, and then I think it's really important because like this legislative work that I've been doing, it definitely focuses a lot on like data, and it's kind of like that hidden side of like reproductive justice work. And I'm just really grateful because I've been able to share it with the team at Planned Parenthood, as well as like some of the teens that they've recruited to kind of help spread like awareness in schools. And hopefully I'm thinking that this data will go public soon. And so it's just really gratifying to know that my data research work has like a real world impact. But I will say that some of, like, I guess the lows of working with Planned Parenthood is the idea that it is, like, a large nonprofit. And so a lot of times what comes with that is, like, a lot of bureaucracy. And there have been times when, like, I've tried to, like, submit a flyer, like, a design for, like, voter registration week. But it hasn't been able to, like, get through all the necessary steps to, like, come out in time. So I thought that was, like, pretty frustrating. And then also just another thing is that I consider like Planned Parenthood to be a reproductive rights and health nonprofit and not so much a reproductive justice because a lot of what they focus on is like what happens in the clinics, but like it's also a predominantly white-led institution. So it's just they're limited in like what they can do.
Yeah, and I really liked that you touched on your like data research work because I think a common misconception that a lot of people have when they're thinking about doing RJ work is that like you need to be interested in like doing like educational work or like advocacy work, but I think people forget that there's also so much like cool administrative work and data work that needs to be done if that's something that you're interested in. So how has your AAPI identity affected your actual work, if it has?
Yeah, so it was really interesting because I actually had this great opportunity to go to a Planned Parenthood conference in Washington, D.C. And in one of the workshops, they laid out this hierarchy of, like, of the communities in need of reproductive health. And it definitely, it laid it out in a way that it was, like, Black, Latinx, Indigenous, and then Asian, and then white. And so I think it was just a very, like, clear-cut hierarchy that got me thinking really critically about, like, the realities of, like, Black maternal health disparities, the lack of acknowledgement of Indigenous people, the high teen pregnancy rates among the Latinx community. But I think it was also this, like, monolithic representation that kind of separated our, like, BIPOC communities more than it did unite them, and that just seemed pretty problematic to me when I heard about that in this conference. And then otherwise, like, I've been trying to advocate a little bit more for, like, Asian American representation in, like, reproductive justice. So recently there has been a lot of anti-Asian hate and, like, violence that's been going on. And Planned Parenthood actually posted, like, a graphic in support of an AAPI's artist artwork, but they did it without her permission, and so they ended up taking it down. But after that, they didn't post anything else about it. And so I was just like, what's going on? And so, like, I ended up private messaging them to, like, at least say something, but honestly, I don't know if, like, they ended up saying anything. But also, like, working with Vela, I've been able to work with them for voter advocacy, as well as, like, sharing out, like, their Ginger Roots events. Yeah. And so that's been really awesome, and I'm really glad to, like, see that there is an organization like Vela.
No, it is extremely nice to have a very kind of targeted AAPI-focused community surrounding this work. It has taught me quite a bit about kind of the cultural implications of being part of the AAPI community. So how do you think your RJ work has impacted your future career decisions and career path, if at all?
Yeah, so I mentioned earlier that I'm interested in medical school and becoming a physician, and so I think a lot of the work that I've done has definitely pointed me towards, like, OBGYN, and, like, another department that I'm interested in one of the med schools that I've been looking at is, like, perinatal mental health. And it's kind of, like, focusing on this multidimensional view of the physical and mental effects of, like, carrying a pregnancy to term, infertility, miscarriage, and early parenting. And I really want to get a little more into that, and I'm excited to learn about that in the future. And then also, just another thing that I think is really important is, like, addressing the importance of alleviating barriers to pursuing reproductive health care.
Yeah. I think those are really important goals to have, especially, like, going into the medical field, because I think, like, historical problems, especially with, like, OBGYN work, has been, like, a lack of advocacy for femme-identifying patients. So I think, like, having people going into that field with that mindset is really great. So, last question, but certainly not the least. Do you have any advice for AAPI people coming into college who are maybe interested in doing RJ work?
Yeah, I first want to just say, like, I think I mentioned this earlier too, but I really think that RJ work is, like, a space for BIPOC people. I found it to be very vibrant, warm, and powerful, and I definitely think that, like, get yourself to be ready to meet a lot of the most determined and inspiring people that you're ever going to meet. And I guess before coming into it, definitely educate yourself about the barriers in reproductive health care that marginalized communities have historically faced. And also just let your voice shine and amplify the voices of others.
Yeah, I really love that. That's all really incredible advice. Well, Izzy, thank you so much for being here with us today. We really appreciate you taking the time to interview with us, and we hope that this helps anyone who is considering becoming involved in RJ work.
This episode was written by Divya Goyal and Maya Jamalapiti, and it's affiliated with Vela New Orleans, and the music you are listening to is Superposition by Young the Giant. I don't believe in fate, no psychic vision.